Well, good morning. I encourage you to be opening your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We'll be over there in just a moment. We'll be all over the Bible this morning. Normally, I like to pick a text and stay there. With the topic we're going to be discussing this morning, there's a lot to be said from a lot of different areas of the Bible, and I want to take those into account as we study this morning. I was told that I have until about 9:40. And one of the clocks in the back says 8:10. So strap in. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been a pleasure to be here this weekend, getting to be a part of your Bible workshop weekend. I got to say, the vibe this weekend was really good. I was really encouraged by the young people that gathered. I'm encouraged by the work that is being done here. I appreciate the way that you're investing in young people. I think that's so important. I know that meant a lot to me when I was younger. It continues to mean a lot to me as I'm only slightly older. And I appreciate the effort that everyone has put in this weekend. Yesterday, someone commented to me that they didn't think I was old enough to have children. And I'm speaking on the family, and so I felt like it might be a good idea to give you an idea of who I am, in case I have not met you, which is most of you. My name is Noah Dieselkamp, and I preach at the Cedar Park Congregation in Cedar Park, Texas, which is just north of Austin. I've been there for about 2 years. This is my lovely wife, Michaela, and our two sons. There's actually three sons in the picture. You just can't see one of them. He'll be visible in just a couple of months here, and so we're looking forward to his arrival as well. The church in Cedar Park is a wonderful group. I'm thankful to be there, and I bring their greetings. The Christians there greet you and in the Lord and encourage you in your work here in the Little Rock area. Our theme for this weekend was building better relationships. Building better relationships. And when I was told that I would be speaking on the family and building better relationships in the context of the family, I was thinking about the importance of those relationships. And I think at some point in time, it would have been, at some time in the past, it would have been needless to say that our relationships with our family are important. But that's not necessarily the world we live in anymore. And so as we try to serve the Lord in a culture that has become more and more antagonistic and hostile to the very idea of family, and has tried to deconstruct what that word means, what it looks like, what's involved, I think it's important that if we're going to talk about building better families, we need to start by talking about why family is important. Why does family matter to God? Why are we spending our Sunday morning talking about building better families? So real briefly, before we talk about building better families, let's talk about the importance of those relationships. And there's several reasons that we can point to why families are important. The first is God gave them. The family was the first relationship that God created. It began with one man and one woman in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We know this verse. If we're here at 9 o'clock in the morning, we probably have read this verse a few times. The family predates any nation, any government, any organization, any business, any church. The family predates all of that. It was God's original unit of society. And God gave it as a blessing. And built into this relationship, he said that man and woman would leave their previous family units and they would become one. They would become something new. And in that context, there's both the expectation and the anticipation of children. And that is the family unit as God designed it. He expected, he gave the family as the unit in which children would be brought into this world and trained in the admonition of the Lord. And so families are important because God gave them to us as a part of his very good creation. But they're also important because they're formative. Our earliest experiences as human beings take place in the context of our family. Who we are is formed by the people we spend time with early on in our lives. The earliest encounters that we have are with our family. These relationships begin before we can even remember, before we even have long-term memory in our minds. And so family is the context into which God intended for children to be raised and to grow and to be formed. Our worldview, our ethics, our morals, how hard we work, our sense of humor, our priorities, our interests, our morals, all of these are incubated in the context of our family. They form who we are, and that makes them very important. And lastly, I don't want us to miss this. Families are important because they are shadows of a greater reality. They illustrate something that's even better and even greater than themselves. They're used to illustrate our relationship with God. God is our Father, we are told. If we went to Luke 15, which we'll touch on briefly later in this lesson, and we see the love of the Father, the love of God is compared to that of the love of a father. Or we could look at passages like Ephesians chapter 5, where Christ is referred to as the husband and the church is the bride. These family relationships that we have, that we engage in from the earliest point in our lives, they illustrate a greater reality, the relationship that we have to God. The church is referred to in familial terms. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And these are all intended to help us understand because we understand from our human experience these relationships. And so the Holy Spirit uses these terms to describe our spiritual relationships to help us understand what's involved. And that makes our family relationships very important because our relationships with our parents and with our kids and with our siblings, and you could extend it out to grandparents and aunts and uncles and all of those, but primarily with our parents and our siblings and our children, those relationships are going to be the relationships through which, they are the lens through which we are going to view and understand our relationship with God. And that makes these incredibly important relationships. Parents, you are the first picture your child has of what the Father is like. You're the first picture of that. You're going to give God's first impression of, you're going to give your children their first impression of what love and compassion and justice and mercy and grace look like. You represent God to your children. And kids, the way that you interact with your parents and your siblings, and especially your siblings, perhaps, I should say, is going to affect how they view their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's going to affect it. There's nothing you can do about that. The only thing you can do is make sure that you give them the best possible head start. These relationships are incredibly important. Remembering these kinds of things, I want us to remember these at the beginning because this is going to help us understand why it's important that we build better family relationships. This should drive home to us just how important it is to invest in our family, to invest in our parents and in our children and in our siblings. They matter. These relationships matter. Building better relationships in our family matters to God. And so it ought to matter to us as well. Strong families matter to God. So when building better family relationships, like any building project, I am not a handyman. I've built very few things in my life from a physical standpoint. But my understanding is that if you want to build something, you need a good foundation. So this morning, there's 100 different directions we could go, but this morning what I want us to look at is three foundations for the family, three foundations that we need to be working from in our relationships with our physical family in order to build better families. And these three are not interchangeable. It's not choose your own adventure. These three things are all vitally important. We cannot leave them out. They are foundational to building a family that glorifies God and raises up godly children. And so we're going to look at foundations this morning. And the first foundation that I want to talk about is that first, individually, we must embrace our relationship with God. I must embrace God's relationship with me as an individual. And that relationship can be summed up pretty easily. He's the creator, and I am the creation. I was created in His image. Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." We have inherent value to God as His special creation. We're not just any creation. We were created to have dominion over the rest of His creation. We have inherent value in His image, not only to Him, but to other people. And other people must have inherent value to me. We were created for His purposes. Specifically, if we were to look at the narrative of all of Scripture, but it starts all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, we were created to dwell with God. We were created to live with God. He created the garden as a place for Him to have community with man. That's what He wants from His creation. And He wants from His creation for them to take care of the rest of His creation. That dominion word that we read there in Genesis chapter 1, that's not just the idea of authority and rule. It also encapsulates the idea of care for. We are to care for God's creation. Now, Genesis 3 changed all of that to some extent because the sin broke that special relationship that was there in the garden. But man's responsibility and man's purpose has not changed. God still desires to dwell with His creation. And He still expects humankind as His special creation to care for the rest of His creation and to rule over it. In other words, right now, we're taking care of the world that God has given us, and we are seeking God because we are intended to dwell with Him. We are intended to live with Him. That's still our purpose. We were created for that purpose. But our relationship with God is not just creator to creation, it's redeemer to redeemed. And when we use the term redeemer at 9:20 on a Sunday morning, we're all automatically thinking about Jesus, and that's good. But sometimes when we do that, we forget what redeem means. God purchased us. That's what Jesus did on the cross. His blood purchased us. It bought us. So when I say that our relationship to God is redeemer to redeemed, it's not just that He saved us, it's that He owns us. He bought us. Not to free us, but to free us from sin and make Him, as Peter would put it in 1 Peter chapter 2, a people for His own possession. We're His. We're God's. The most fundamental description of who I am, and I told the young people this yesterday, the most fundamental description of who I am is I was created by God and I belong to God. And that is my relationship with Him. And that has to be, if we want to zoom out from the family for a moment, that has to be the foundation for all of our relationships. This whole discussion that we've been having this weekend, it has to be based on our relationship with God. We can't build any other better relationships if we don't start there. It's because of God's love for us that we love God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It is because of His love for us. He loved us first. And it's in God's love for us that we find our identity and our value. And we can move on from there. It's because of God's love for us and our love for God that we love our neighbors and that we love our enemies alike. It's because of God's love for us and our love for God that we love the church. Nick's going to be talking about our relationship with the church later. That has to be based on my relationship with God. That's where it has to start. It's summed up in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because He first loved us. So we have to start with the foundation of embracing my relationship with God. And that is especially true in our relationships with our physical family. The relationship between a husband and wife is a special relationship. It's unique from all other relationships. The same can be said for the relationship between a parent and a child. It is unique from those other relationships. It's unique. My relationship with Michaela and the boys is unique from my relationship with anybody in this room. And that's how it ought to be. But all the more for that reason, I ought to build my relationships with Michaela and the boys on this thing, on this relationship, my relationship with God. And some people are uncomfortable with that. I'll give you an illustration. I love my two boys. I try to make a point of telling them that very regularly. But I also tell them, I love your mama more. I have no hesitation telling my five-year-old, I love you, and I love your mama more. Some people go, oh man, that can't be good. Don't do that. I'm doing it. And it's good for my sons to know that my relationship with them is built on an even stronger relationship with their mother. And that's how it ought to be. Take that back a step. I love my wife. I love her more than any of y'all. But I love God more. And I ought to. And that's not a threat to my wife. That's not a threat to my love for her. On the contrary, the better I love God, the better I will love my wife. She can find assurance that my affection for her and my love for her is not going to pass away as we get older. It's not going to pass away as we face more difficult situations because it is built on a love that I have for God. And my love for God is built on His love for me. And there is no surer foundation than that. We have to build our relationships with our family on our relationship with God. And in the family, when we all embrace our relationship with God as the most fundamental part of who we are, we have the same starting point, we have the same goal, and we have the same standard. I want to say that again. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how old you are. If your relationship with your family, with your parents, with your children, with your siblings, if it is based on your relationship first with God, then you can have assurance that you can look at your brother, your sister, your parents, your children, and you can know that they have the same starting point. That is, we're God's, my identity in God. We have the same goal, which is to glorify God. And we have the same standard that we're going to go to in order to make our decisions. Think about the impact that has in the family. Parents, the way that we raise and teach and discipline our children must reflect our identity as God's people. It must reflect our desire to glorify God, and it must reflect an understanding of and a respect for God's Word. I know that's a big chunk. That's a mouthful. You could expand that out into a lesson of its own. But parents, Our parenting, our instruction, our discipline must reflect those things. We have to be intentional about those things with our children. But young people, I want you to understand something. I was in your shoes not so long ago. When your parents correct you or discipline you, when they deprive you of something that you want, it's not random. It's not arbitrary, right, parents? They have made these decisions in light of their first commitment to Jesus. Can you keep that in mind the next time your parents make a decision that you don't like, that kind of cheats in on how you want to do things? They made that decision in light of their first commitment, their commitment to God and their commitment to Jesus. Parents, we can turn that around. If we're raising children whose hearts love God first, then we should probably think the best of their motivations. We may disagree with what they want to do. We may even keep them from doing it and discipline them and instruct them. But can we think the best of their motivations? If we are raising children who love God first, when they ask for a privilege or an opportunity, or when they make a decision that we know from our experience is unwise, our response in that situation and the way that we instruct them and correct them ought to take into account their motivation being derived from their identity in Christ. And young people, again, consider your parents' boundaries and guardrails in light of what God expects of them and the responsibility that they bear as your parents. God expects them to raise you. They're going to be held accountable for how they do that. So consider that when they offer wisdom or correction or boundaries, that they're doing that from the common standard that if you profess Christ, the common standard you have is His example and His word. I could go on for a long time on that, but we need to move on so that I don't actually go until an hour and a half. The second foundation we need to consider is that we must respect God's plan for the family. When we embrace our relationship with God, it follows, therefore, that we should have a respect for His plan for the family, how He created the family. And He does have a plan. He's had a very good design from the very beginning. The family unit we already talked about that He created, that was part of the creation that in chapter 1 of Genesis, Genesis 1 verse 31, He calls very good. The family was included in that. He has a plan. He gave a pattern. And it's not just that it's a man and a woman leaving and cleaving, as we sometimes call it. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of a family unit. And it is what sustains it, husbands and wives. Your relationship is the foundation of your family. It is what will sustain it into the future. But it goes beyond that. If we look at Jesus' teaching in Matthew 19, He answers, "Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? He said, therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." There's the pattern. Fundamentally, we have to understand this about marriage. But He also has given it a purpose. God's plan for the family is not just a, this is what it should look like. It's a, this is what it should do. This is what it should accomplish. We can see an example of that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That's the greatest command we know. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." It is in the home, first and foremost, that we are to learn about God and that we're to learn about His will. It is the parents' responsibility, first and foremost, to raise their children, as Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 6, in the training and admonition of the Lord, or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God's intention for the family was to create a stable unit in which godly offspring could be raised. Maybe that seems like an oversimplification. That's a lesson for a different time. The family unit is uniquely equipped to do this. This work was given uniquely to the family, not to a government, not to a school, not to a church. The responsibility of raising godly children is the responsibility of the family. Unfortunately, though, even though God designed it very good, sin came into the picture and complicated it and twisted it and perverted it. And so when we're here in a broken world surrounded by broken ideas, we often find God's plan for the family difficult to accept. And that's why there are 1,001 self-help books on how to have a better family. Because everyone wants a better family, but nobody wants to look to the creator of the family to learn how to do that. If we treat family haphazardly, we will end up twisting and abusing and perverting that which God created to be good. So any deviation from God's plan, no matter our reason, no matter how well-intentioned, it's not going to end well. We have to be committed to God's plan. We have to be vigilant for God's plan. And so, parents, that means we have to joyfully shoulder the God-given roles and responsibilities that we have. We're stewards. You remember the parable that Jesus tells about the steward, the talents, and the steward who hid the talent in the ground? Well, all the other men, the master said, "Well done, you've been faithful in a little." Parents, we are stewards of our children. How are we doing? How are we doing with what God has given us? Does He say, "Well done? You've been faithful in a little"? Children are a gift, a heritage from the Lord, Psalm 127. Do we treat them that way? Do we talk about them that way? Children, if you want to respect God's design for the family, respect your parents. Your parents have taken on a responsibility that God says is honorable. That's why the first commandment with a promise is honor your father and mother. Parents are a gift. Children are a gift. We talked about that in Psalm 127. Parents are a gift. The Proverbs writer says, "The righteous who walks in integrity, blessed are his children after him." Young people, I can't emphasize this to you enough. If you have parents that love God, you are in a very privileged minority. Thank God for godly parents. They are a blessing. So respect God's plan for the family. If we want to build better family relationships, we have to look to the one who created those relationships and see, how does he want this done? How does he want this done? And when we look to God, who created the family, we won't just see a pattern, we won't just see a plan, we will also see his character. And that is the last foundation I want to mention today. If we want to build better families and we want to build better relationships in our family, it must involve imitating the character of God. And that could launch into a whole study about the character and the attributes of God. And we don't have time for that this morning. Three, briefly, that we as parents, as children, as siblings, we need to emulate. One, trustworthiness. The Hebrews writer says, "He who promised is faithful." In the context, he says, it is because of God's faithfulness that we can be bold, that we can boldly confess our faith, and that we can come into His presence and we can hold on to that hope. All of that is because God is faithful. Likewise, parents, we must be trustworthy. Children, we must be trustworthy. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Trust is built slowly over time. It means we tell the truth. It means we're open with one another. It is built on openness and honesty, but it is quickly destroyed by selfishness and deceit and deception. Kids, I'm going to be honest with you. If you want to gain your parents' trust, you're not going to do it by hiding things from them. We get that backwards so often. Oh, well, I don't want them to know because then I'm afraid they won't trust me. I don't want them to know that I hung out with this person or I did this thing or that I had these thoughts or that I engaged in it. That is not how you build trust. If you want your parents' trust, it's going to require openness and honesty. And parents, it is our responsibility to reflect the faithfulness of God in our relationship with our children. God is long-suffering, are we? Trustworthiness, sacrifice, and service. God's sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is indisputable as an example to us. So, if we're going to imitate that, we have to have the mind of Christ that counts others as more significant than ourselves. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. It means we don't manipulate the situation to our advantage. We set aside our own interests for the interests of others, as Paul talks about in verse 4. And that we sacrifice in humble obedience to God, just as Jesus did, as Paul describes there in Philippians 2 verse 8. And parents, I know I'm already there. Oh man, it happens so fast. But I need to get this out. Parents, our challenge is that we often forget we are not raising our children for the purpose of benefiting us. We are not raising our children for the sake of being convenient. They are not just our retirement plan. We are raising them to be spiritual descendants of Abraham. To walk in the footsteps of the faithful, to bless all nations just as God promised to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. That's what we're raising our children for, to glorify God. And if we lose sight of that, then our instructions and our rules and our expectations, all of those things will become twisted and out of shape. The guidelines we put in place for our children, they need to reflect the fact that we are not raising them for our benefit or for our convenience, but to glorify God. We don't need, the world doesn't need any more lazy, self-centered adults. It doesn't need any more ladder-climbing industry leaders and men of ambition. It doesn't need any more people who are embittered by poor experiences and lack of affection. What this world needs is more young adults who have been lovingly and firmly trained in the admonition of the Lord. And parents, that is our responsibility. There is so much more that I want to talk about. And I knew that I was going to have to condense what I wanted to say, and I condensed it, but not enough. And so I want to close with a quick summary here, and I'm going to have to skip past a few slides. After all that, Stephen, I still have to skip slides. I sent him 3 different versions of this PowerPoint. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." If we want to build better families, if we want to build better relationships, we have to commit our family to God. And that sounds good. But it's hard. It is hard. But we have to commit our relationships, whether we're parents to our children, children to our parents. We have to let God direct us. We have to let God guide us and support us. Because God cares about you. God cares about you, and He cares about your family. And He wants you to succeed. So we have to lean on God And it sounds like a lot of work, and that's because it is a lot of work. Building anything worthwhile takes time and effort and attention. Can you hear this, though? Building a family that works together to glorify God, it's worth it. There's no greater project you could be working on than your family. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the blessing of your revelation through your Son, through the Holy Spirit, through the lives of your people. We're thankful for the direction that we can gain from looking back at your instructions to your people throughout time. We're thankful for the examples of the families of the faithful throughout history. Lord, we pray that no matter how old we are, how young we are, we can commit our family relationships to you, that we can trust you with them, that we will build them on the foundation of your love for us, of your plan for the family, and on your character. We thank you for your faithfulness and your love. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.